Good evening. Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, may our hearts be open to your prompting and our ears be open to your word. May my words honour and glorify you, and be useful for building up and encouraging each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Whose story do you follow? Think about that for a moment. Whose story do you follow? Who do you follow on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram? What books do you read? Whose blogs do you read? Whose TED Talks do you watch and learn from? Who do you let influence your life? What shapes you? Do you follow TV heroes, celebrities, sports heroes? Entrepreneurs, business gurus? Do you follow the latest trends, the latest fads? Are you influenced by the buzz in the media? What pops up on your phone? What friends are talking about at work? Or in the pub? Or even in your home group? Do you follow what others recommend? What others like? What's being talked about generally, even what you want? Or do you follow God? That's the underlying challenge of today's passage, and it's been the challenge since the dawn of time. You see, essentially, there are two stories. God's story, God's view of the world, shared in the Bible. Or our story, my story, our view of the world in many shapes, shades, creeds and colours, many viewpoints, but always built on my knowledge, my wisdom, because I know better. And the challenge given by this incredible book, actually this incredible collection of books, is to follow God's story or not. From Adam and Eve to Jesus and Judas, the Bible tells us about people who do follow and people who don't. It's not a book of incantations or magical prophecies where we can just flick to a certain page and it'll tell us what to do now. It doesn't give us a painting by numbers, step by step, how to live. It doesn't give you a crystal ball into your future. And it's not just some ancient historical document. It's gritty, it's real, it's challenging. It's amazing, it's transformational. And some of the stories in here, yeah, they're really old. Some of them go back 3,500, 4,000 years. But the reality is present. They're relevant to you and I. This is the account of the eternal God reaching out through time and space, and how people have received him or not. It's the account of God reaching out to us despite our rejection of him. And the incredible good news that through Jesus Christ, God has crossed the great divide and invites each one of us into his presence. The human story is a set in time, But God's story is eternal, it's timeless. And his invitation to you and to me is to be part of his story, a real story, an eternal story, something meaningful, something true. And the invitation is to be part of God's story here and now, to be a continuation of what God has been doing in here and what God has continued to do through history. Do you want to be part of God's story, God's eternal adventure? Or would you rather be part of stories that might be present now, but come and go? They've got no lasting, saving, or eternal power. When the reading you heard a few moments ago, the short third letter of John, John the Apostle is writing to a church. We don't know where. And he commends Gaius for his faithfulness and his hospitality. Visiting preachers and teachers would be given food and lodging by the churches that they visited. And Gaius is thanked both for his hospitality and is commended and encouraged for walking in the truth. He's encouraged to imitate not what is evil, but what is good, because what is good is from God. Gaius is following God faithfully and truthfully. He's part of God's story. He wants to help others to hear and receive God's word. By contrast, Diotrephes, another church leader, does not show hospitality. In fact, he shows hostility, aggression, and he spreads malicious rumors. He even excommunicates people. He excommunicates those who wish to show hospitality. Now, you might wonder if Diotrephes is just being cautious about visiting preachers. We know that there were false teachers. The second letter of John refers to that. But being cautious doesn't account for malicious gossip, and it doesn't account for excommunication. Diotrephes is being a dictator. He insists on getting his own way and being boss, that he knows best. He's following his own story. Now, you might remember that during his earthly ministry, Jesus' disciples argued over who would be the greatest. And if you want some homework and to look that up, then Luke 9 and 22 and Mark 9 and Matthew 18. They've all got passages about the disciples asking about who's the greatest. And some of them, Jesus puts a child in front of them and says, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, you've got to be like this little child. Jesus reminded them that the kingdom is not about greatness, it's about serving, and that he, Jesus, is among his disciples as one who serves. And in contrast, Diotrephes acts in a self-centered and dictatorial way. He's in a church, but the way he acts is not consistent with God, with God's story, or with Jesus. He's suiting his own ends. He's not honouring God or building people up. Now, Diotrephes is a bit of a warning story because he might have started well. He probably did start well, but he went off course somewhere. Perhaps due to a lack of accountability, a lack of faith, a lack of encouragement, bad instruction. Ultimately, he chose to go his own way, not God's way. He's following his story, not God's story. And this letter of John reminds us that wherever there are people, like you and me, there are problems. And the problem essentially boils down to Who am I following? Whose story am I following? Whose story are you following? God or yourself? God or something else, someone else? And this letter also reminds us that this is a question we need to challenge ourselves even in church. It's not as simple as being in church and therefore being in God. Diotrephes was in church, but he wasn't following God. Last week, I was in New York in business, and I stepped into a cathedral one evening because I wanted to find a quiet place just to sit and pray and reflect, and also to think about this sermon. It wasn't a very quiet place. It was actually turned out to be quite busy. But I stepped into this beautiful ecclesiastical masterpiece. It was well lit, and there were lots of people milling around. Some were wandering round admiring the architecture. Some were praying, and some were doing both. Many were probably asking themselves questions, pondering on their own dilemmas, perhaps even asking faith questions. I sat there, I prayed for a while, and then I prayed for those who were wandering around. I prayed for those who might be hurting, those who might need healing, those who might be lonely, and most of all, for those who don't know God, who don't know God's story, who don't know the good news of God in Christ. And as I prayed for them, I began to wonder whose story they were following. Were they following God's story or their own? And I also reflected my own life. I've followed God. I do follow God. But also, too often, I go my own way. So this sermon isn't just directed at you, it's directed at me as well. I stand among you as one who God challenges. How seriously do we take God's challenge? Is God a little bit of ketchup on the plate of our lives? Or the whole dish? Yes, I'm getting hungry now. Are we just taking the bits that we want? Or are we sold out for God? Do we approach God in a pick and mix fashion? Or accept the whole invitation? Is God just another card in our football collection? Or another friend in our Facebook page? Or another LinkedIn contact? Or is he preeminent in our lives? Does he define us? Do we get it? One who really got it was Maximilian Kolbe. He was a Polish priest in the early part of the 20th century. And during the Second World War, he gave shelter and refuge to a number of people fleeing Nazi persecution, especially Jews. He was arrested and he was sent to the Auschwitz death camp. He continued to act as a priest, providing comfort and prayer, and he was subject to violent harassment, and he was beaten to within an inch of his life. A doctor at the camp later testified that, "I can say with certainty that during my 4 years at Auschwitz, I never saw such a sublime example of the love of God and one's neighbor." Kolbe prayed with others, gave value to others, and put others before himself. In July of 1941, 10 prisoners escaped. The deputy camp commander picked 10 prisoners to starve to death as a deterrent to others. One of those chosen cried out, "My wife, my children." And at that, Maximilian Kolbe stepped forward and volunteered to take the place of that condemned man. Incredibly, the camp commander agreed. The 10 men were put in an underground holding cell to starve to death. Kolbe led the condemned men in prayers each day. After 2 weeks, the other 9 prisoners had all died. Only Kolbe remained alive. So the guards gave him a lethal injection. He died on the 14th of August, 1941. He lived and died a life following God, being part of God's story. Even in the darkness and oppression of camp life, he was a light in the darkness, a light for God. He showed that there's hope beyond the human condition, hope beyond human oppression, hope beyond human choices. Thanks be to God for Kolbe's life and example. Another person who really got it is Jackie Pullinger. I know some of you have heard of her. She felt God's call on her life. This was back in the mid-1960s. And despite mission agencies not accepting her, she followed God all the way to Hong Kong, all the way into a very oppressive place called the Walled City in Kowloon, where even the police feared to go. And her story is an amazing story of God at work in a dark, oppressive place. She followed God's story and brought light in the darkness. She helped triad gang members find freedom both from drugs and from gang life through Jesus. And if you didn't know, the triads never previously let people go free. But such was the influence and power of God at work through Jackie Pullinger that the triads reluctantly let people go. And she's still doing that amazing work there, following God's story. But before we get sucked perhaps into the idea that doing God's work is all about going to other countries, not necessarily. It's about faithfully following wherever we find ourselves, wherever God puts us. And that could be in the office, should be in the office, should be at home, at school, at college. It's about letting God's story permeate our lives so that God flavors are evident. It's about being salt and light wherever we find ourselves. It's about being light in the darkness. And there's a whole bunch of distracting stories that are going on today and every day. But there's only one truth, there's only one light, there's only one life. It's about becoming part of God's story and living that out wherever we find ourselves. Whether God sends us to Hong Kong, whether we find ourselves in prison, or whether we're fortunate enough to live a domesticated and perhaps office life. About following God wherever He leads us. It's what John Kirkby, the founder of Christians Against Poverty, did. It's what Paddy and Carol Henderson did when they founded Trussell Trust, the food banks. It's what Ben Ellis did through his life and through his terminal cancer. Each of them lived God's story, and they continue to be part of the eternal story of God's redemption here and in eternity. It's not about twisting God's story to suit our ends, like Diotrephes. It's about following God's story every day, letting God take control. It's about surrendering. It's about giving up self. And we all know that can be hard. But we can find strength in God. We can find strength as we let the Spirit work in us, as we let the Spirit transform us. We can find strength in prayer. We can be accountable to one another, and we can encourage one another. As John encouraged Gaius and Demetrius. In fact, one of the best things we can do for each other is to check up on one another's spiritual health and encourage each other to stay faithful, to follow the one story worth following, to finish well, to run the race. We need to encourage one another. It's hard out there. Let's encourage one another to follow God's story, not the world around us. Let's encourage one another to be wise about who we let speak into our lives, who we let influence us, who we let shape us, whose story we follow. That's best done in a fellowship of community, in the Church of Jesus Christ, in a fellowship of accountability and love. There's only one story worth following. I hope we all know that. I'm seeing one or two nodding heads. But if you're not sure, if you've got any doubts, if this is a bit new to you, then don't leave here tonight without talking to Simon or Joel or myself or to any friends that you've come with. Let's pray together. Let's encourage one another. Let's build each other up in the name of Jesus. There's only one story with a happy ending. There's only one story with an eternal ending. And it's not the way of the world. It's not the way of TED Talks. It's not the way of social media. It's the way of Jesus Christ. Are you going that way? Are you following God or some other agenda? Or do you need to reorder your life? Whose story are you following? Amen.